8. So I thought that was a real blessing, and that's what it's all about. And it really only works when the church gets to the place that they can't do anymore. And a lot of churches are not interested in faith promise missions because, well, for one thing, they've never done it before. But it is biblical. That is God's way of supporting missionaries. But they might give out of the treasury in the church. They might just take up a missions offering, and what it is. But it really only really begins to work when the church is doing all that it can do, and you look around and you say, we just can't do anymore. We've come to the end of what we can do. And when we come to the end of what we can do, then we begin to trust and have faith in the Lord and say, Lord, we'd love to do more, but you're going to have to do it. And then the Lord begins to do it. And I think that's, and we've had it several years now, but I think that's maybe about where we are at Mount Lebanon. We're doing all we can do. And that's a good place to be, because when we do all we can do, then we get to see that God comes along and show us what he can do. And he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And missions, somebody said the other day, there's a preacher friend of mine, and he's taking a class on missions, and one of his assignments in his class was to talk to 10 pastors or deacons and get their definition for what missions was. And he asked me, and I said, well, to me, missions is the mission. It is the mission of the church. It's not just a mission, it is the mission. And I said, when I was in the Air Force, we had at our base, I was in the 81st Tactical Fighter Wing in RAF Bentwaters, England, and we had a mission. Our mission was a front line against invasion from Germany, communist, anywhere in that area of the world. So that's the reason for that base. And I told him, I said, and everything our base did revolved around that mission. All the financial decisions, all the equipment, all the personnel that's moved here or moved there, all of the support, everything. Everything revolved around that mission. And that's the way that it ought to be in the church. Missions is the mission. And everything we do ought to revolve around missions, all of our decisions, all of our personnel, because the Lord Jesus has given us the mission to go in the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So this is our Sunday renew, rethink. And I'm going to read some verses here, and I'll point out that there's a pattern in the Word of God for yearly, and we've not done this. It's been a year and a half. And so we'll take this weekend every year to renew our faith promise mission and to think about it. And maybe even next year, hopefully, I'll just go ahead and say and plan on it, having a conference. And we might have a booster shot a couple of times through the year, and we'll have missionaries and things like that. But let's just read some verses tonight, and I'll give you something from the Word of God. There's two chapters here, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, and both of them give us God's mind on how to support missionaries. That is what chapter 8 and chapter 9 is all about. And rarely do you find in the Bible two chapters just on one subject, but Paul, evidently it's so important that he takes two chapters here and deals with the subject of giving. But let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 7 through 15, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And the Bible says there, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge, and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. And there's one of the places where we get the pattern for a year. We ought to look and we ought to think about and pray about every year, because we know and the Lord knows that people's circumstances change and their lives change. And so there's a opportunity to rethink and pray about Faith Promise Missions, and hopefully and prayerfully we'll grow in it. But also right there, let me go over to chapter 9 in verse 2. He said, "For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many." So two places we have the opportunity of a year gone by. But let's go on back to verse 11 in chapter 8. He said, "Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack." And so let's pray before we go any further. Father, we just come tonight, and Lord, I want to thank you for all the many blessings that you've given to us. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us tonight as we look into the Word of God. Lord, I thank you for the church meeting here tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to have a greater burden, a greater vision for missions. Lord, we have come to the place, as far as I see it in my human eyes, that, Lord, we're doing all that we can do physically. Lord, we come to the place tonight and in our church's history that, God, we need you more than ever before to help us, to guide us, to lead us, to speak to us individually, Lord, that we might see you do through us what you'd really like to do here at Mount Lebanon. Lord, I pray for our missionaries. I thank you and praise you for the good report from New York today. Lord, we just praise you. God, that one soul that was saved, that's worth more than everything that went on today. With all the expense and all of the effort and all of the TV time and all of those things, God, one soul is worth more than all of that. And I just thank you today for having just a little part in that. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. We pray that there's others. We realize there must be others we won't ever know anything about till we get to heaven. But, Lord, we thank you for that one that we've heard about today. And I pray, Lord, you'd bless all of our missionaries and what they do, and help us to have a burden for it, and help us here in the community where we live to be a bright and shining light. And we'll thank you for all that you do. We pray for your help right now, and I ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. Let's start here in verse number 7, and I'll point out something I've pointed many times before, and I have preached out of these two chapters here at Mount Lebanon. And it's like Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. But I just want to share with you tonight some things, some points that the Lord's laid on my heart. I've preached out of this scripture, but I've not preached this message, if that makes sense. So you just pray tonight that the Lord would speak to our hearts. But the Bible said there in verse number 7, he says, "Therefore." And we all know when we see the word "therefore" in the Bible, we ought to go back and see what it's there for. And his "therefore" here in verse number 7, he has been talking about the churches at Macedonia. And he gave them as an example in chapter number 8 and verses 1 through 6. If we go to verse number 1, he said, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." I noticed this morning that we sang that song, "Send the Light." And in that song, Send the Light, it says, I think it's the second verse, it says, we have heard the Macedonian call today. Wonder where that comes from, why the songwriter used that. Well, that comes right from the Word of God. We've heard the Macedonian call today. And I think probably what the songwriter is really referencing to is where Paul seen what we call the Macedonian vision. And if you go down through there in that chapter in the book of Acts, it says the Spirit of God forbade them to go here, wouldn't let them go here. They didn't know where to go. And that night Paul went to sleep and he had a vision. And there was a man in Macedonia that said, come over and help us. That's the Macedonian vision, and that's the vision of missions. There are many throughout the world tonight that would love to have a preacher, they'd love to have a church, they'd love to hear the gospel, but they have nowhere to hear it, nowhere to go, and nobody to preach it to them. And that's one of the reasons why I ended up in the state of Idaho. There were some believers that wanted a church. And so the Macedonian vision is something that is real and relevant today. And it goes all the way back in the Bible to this vision that Paul seen. Paul went into Macedonia. He established churches there in Philippi and Thessalonica. And then Paul later on writes to the church at Corinth. And he says, I want to tell you about these churches in Macedonia. God has really blessed them. God is really using them. I'm going to tell you about them. That little word wit there in verse number one, it means this. It means to make known. I want to tell you what God has done in the churches at Macedonia. And I have preached along these lines before. There's some things we could point out. There's their pattern. They were a pattern to be patterned after. We're not looking in 2011 for a new way to do missions. We need to follow God's way of doing missions. God's ways never changed. There's the pattern. He said, I'm going to tell you about the churches of Macedonia. This is to be your pattern. And so there's their pattern. And we say, well, preacher, we economy's down and bad and everything, and we don't know what's going to happen. That's not only their pattern. We see in verse number two, there's their poverty. He said, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. What we see here in the Word of God is a church that in spite of deep affliction and poverty still did something for God. Now that ought to encourage us tonight. We might think it's bad. We might think the economy is bad, and it is. I agree. I wouldn't argue with that. I opened up the newspaper this morning and there's a story in there about a man that robbed a gas station and run out of gas before he got away. I told Kim and Noah, they were sitting there. I said, buddy, if that's not a sign that times are bad, I don't know what is. A man goes to rob a gas station and he don't have enough gas to get away. That's bad. Maybe he just wasn't smart. I think I'd have filled up and then robbed the gas station. That was in the paper this morning. I know, it looks bad. We hear stuff all the time about how bad it is in the economy and all these things. But honest to goodness, it's not near as bad as it is some places in the world. And in spite of the bad news, God's still good. I mean, I turned on the football game today for a few minutes and it didn't look to me like it's too bad. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people spent money and traveled in time and took time off work, some of them no doubt, to go to a football game. So you can listen to the news or look how it is. I know it might be bad, but wasn't as bad as it was for them. They had deep affliction. They had poverty. But they still did something for God. That's why Paul uses them. They were poor, not rich people. Their power, in verse number three, he said, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. Now that's the key. And that's sort of what I was saying to begin with. When we get to the end of ourselves, When we get to the place where we look around and we look at the offering, we look at the church, and we look at the income and the outflow, and we say, you know, we're doing all that we can in our power. This thing's not about our power, it's about God's power. It's about God showing how big He is. When we really get excited about what He's excited about, their power was not of themselves, but it was of God. Then there's their persistence in verse 4, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And I preached on that before. You know what their attitude towards Paul was? They said, Paul, we want to be involved in what you're involved in. They love the missionary. When Paul came through, they stuffed his pockets full. They loved him. They said, we're praying for you. We want to be a part of getting the gospel out into all the world. And that ought to be our attitude towards missionaries. I hope and pray we never get to the place where it's not another missionary. That's what it's all about. That's the mission of the church. That's a highlight when a missionary comes through and they're going and they're doing. And so they were persistent in the support and the prayer support and the financial support of the Apostle Paul. And then in verse number 5, we see their person. It said, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. They put their self in the offering plate. I said that over at Smithport the first night I went and preached. I said that ought to be the first consideration of any missions conference. It's not about money. It's about our heart before God. God, what do you want us to do? And they gave themselves first. They said, Lord, here am I. And so we see these sayings about the church at Macedonia. And then with all that in mind, Paul says, therefore, in verse number 7, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us. Now, many great things could be said about the church at Corinth by this time. But he says in the last part of verse 7, he says, see that ye abound in this grace also. They were a great church. They had a lot of things going for them. There's a lot of churches out here. They're great churches. They got a lot of things going for them. But they're missing a little something that's not a little something. It's a big something. And Paul said, these other things are graces and they're good. See that ye abound in this grace also. That's what he's saying here. Therefore, see that ye abound in this grace also. Faith, promise, giving is given by faith, not by feelings. It's not even by the funds you have. But it's by faith in God. It is drawing on the bank of heaven. It is credit on the bank of heaven and not cash within the earthly banks. I think that's a good definition for faith promise missions. And so Paul turns now from the example at the Macedonians and he exhorts the Corinthians about what he wants them to do. And what he's saying here in chapter 8 and chapter 9, he's saying, here's how others have done it. Now I want you to put it into practice. This is the biblical pattern that we are to follow after as well. And I want to just say a few things tonight about what I've seen God do in faith promise missions. Now, when I first went to Forest Grove, they had 12 missionaries. And it wasn't just a few months went by and they were down to 8 missionaries. One of them died. A couple of them came off the field, retired. I forget exactly what happened, but basically we started out. They had 8 missionaries. When I left 6.5 years later, when I left Forest Grove, they had about 50 missionaries somewhere around in there. Little old church, that's what the world would look at. They'd say, little old church, man. And people would come. And they would see, missionaries would come, and they would see the work that God was doing through the church, and they'd say, brother, that's good. I mean, people come over there, they think they've come to the end of the world. They wonder if we've got electricity yet. But God is able to take a little and do a lot. I'll tell you some other things God done while I was there, and I believe with all my heart it's because of the stress upon missions and putting God first. By the time that I left, we had four preachers called out of that church. That's evidence of the blessing of God, whether or not you know it. It's when God calls preachers out of a church, that's evidence of the blessing of God. Preacher Greg down at Midway, they have a wonderful missions attitude, heart for missions, whatever you want to call it. God's doing a great work down there. And Brother Greg learned about that while he was at Forest Grove and saying, hey, God blesses this, and he does. Not only did we have four preachers, but we had two of them were missionaries. One of them was myself, and another one, Preacher Mark Hodges, who was in the process of going to Trinidad. That is a sign of the blessing of God. And so we've seen God work there. Well, God called me to be a missionary to go to Idaho. Now, when I got to Idaho, we had about 12 members in the church. When I went to Idaho to pastor the church, Faith Baptist Church in Burley, Idaho, they had one or two missionaries. Now, Preacher Wayne started that church. And if I remember correctly, the missionaries that they supported were him and his mission board. So that's all they were doing for missions. Well, that's one of the first things I inquired into. And I started right off the bat. I said, what we need to do, if we want the blessing of God here in this where Satan's seat is what you talk about, a rough place to minister and preach and have a Baptist church that believes the Bible, that was a rough place. But I said, if we want the blessing of God, I think what we need to do, we need to start putting an emphasis on missions and having missionaries come through and supporting missions. And some of them said, well, we need a church. And I said, I know we need a church. We need a building. We were meeting in a senior citizen center. And I tell you, that's a tough way to have church. Because nobody wants to go to church at a senior citizen center. I don't know what it is. It's just something about it. You invite people to go to church somewhere like that, and they don't even think that can even be a real church. But it's not the building you meet in. It's the people that's the church. But anyway, I told them, I said, we need to start having missionaries. We immediately started the Old Paths broadcast every Sunday morning. I said, we need to do that. We need to do everything we can to preach and get the gospel out. And you know, by the time that I left, we had more missionaries that we supported than we even had members in the church. For a little church, that's a big deal. And we also had a building that God gave us, paid for. Not making payments on it, but paid for, right in the perfect part of town. And they still meet today, and they've had their ups and downs and all of these things like every church does. But I believe God blessed the effort, because I said, what we need to do is get the gospel out. Support missionaries. And we had Faith Promise Missions conferences. We'd have missionaries come through. And I said, when the time is right, God will give us a building. And that's exactly what God did. And I believe God did that in answer to a church just obeying and getting the gospel out and being more concerned about missions than we were buying some building. And so I've seen God do that. And you know, right here at Mount Lebanon, every year since I've been here, we've been able to take on more missionaries. Just look what God's done. God's called young men to preach. Brother Jeff's over there pastoring at Friendship. These other men, they're going and God's using them. And that is evidence of the blessing of God. And we've got the radio ministry that God's blessing. And people are excited in the church, and I'm excited. And if I was ever going to write a book on pastoring, I'd say number one, preach. Chapter one, preach. Chapter two, missions. God will bless that. God will bless that. And I believe he has. And so Paul says here, he says, I want to put forth the example of the Macedonians, and I want to give you just four things about why we ought to put missions first. Number one, he said in verse number 8, to prove the sincerity of your love. That's why we ought to put missions first. Verse number 8, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. It is real easy to come in and sing, oh, how I love Jesus. That don't prove nothing. It doesn't prove anything. We can come in, we can have church, we can have revival meetings. We can have all kinds of things, but that doesn't prove anything about if we really love the Lord. But what I'm telling you tonight, it proves the sincerity of our love. When we love missions and missionaries so much that it causes us to do something that costs us something, to prove the sincerity of your love. You know, when I first started preaching, one of the hardest things for me to do was to accept when somebody would come up and they'd have a little piece of money and they'd say, preacher, I want you to take that. You know what? I was like anybody else. I grew up and I'm taught, you know, we pay our way. We want to earn what we get and all of these things. And that was very hard for me. But Preacher Carl put me in my place about that. Because I was talking to him about it. And he may have even seen me because he was my pastor. You remember that? Sort of a, no, don't do that. You don't need to do that. And Preacher Carl got me off the side and he said, Brother Wynn, let me tell you something. He said, if somebody wants to give you something, you need to take it. He said, they're doing that because they love you. And they want to. And he said, and if you refuse that, you're robbing them of a blessing. He said, don't do that to God's people. He learned me. Why do people do things like that? To prove they love you. They want to help you. And they want to be a blessing to you. And that's what Paul is saying to the Corinthians. He's saying there, to prove the sincerity of your love. And so as we think about it as a church tonight, that's exactly what we're doing. We're proving how sincerity, how much, how genuine our love is for the things of God. And we've been blessed on every hand. And Faith Promise Missions is not trying to just raise more money for missions. It's trying to get us as God's people to see how much God's done for us. And how much in return we owe to Him. Not just with our money, but with our lives and our minds and everything about us. God's done a lot for us. God's blessed us. I learned a long time ago that you can guilt people into doing things, but it wears off real quick. But if we do something because we really love the Lord, that won't wear off. There's a difference. And a lot of people are turned off by talking about missions or giving because they think the preacher's trying to raise some money, but I'm not trying to raise no money for nothing, but boy, I'd like for us to see what God's done for us. And we respond with our hearts. That's what it's all about. Improve the sincerity of our love. We need to have a heart for missions. I hear people say, mission-minded. Mission-minded is good. I realize what people are saying. I'm not going to get up in the pulpit and beat somebody over the head because they use the phrase mission-minded. But really, we ought to be mission-hearted. If we're mission-hearted, it's going to mean a lot more. It's going to go a lot farther. If your heart's in something over your mind, you're going to be oh so much more dedicated to that thing. And so we need a heart for missions. And I think, you know, missionaries cannot live on, thank you for coming, God bless you, we're praying for you. Now they need our prayers. And they'll say, we're raising prayer support. And, you know, they're raising financial support. And I wanted prayer support when I went to the field. But I realized tonight missionaries cannot live on just a pat on the back. And a church, it'll say, well, we're praying for you. We appreciate you coming. I thought about this. If you're not paying, you're not praying. Think about that. But if I am actively involved in a man's ministry, then I am tied to that person by more than just some pious words that come out of my mouth. I'm praying for you. And they go their way and I don't think about them again. That's how it is most of the time, honestly. But if I'm tied into that missionary by an offering that comes from my heart and my life and it costs me something, then I'm far more inclined to really pray for them. To really pray for them. I went after church today and I got to thinking about Brother Johnson up in New York. And the reason he called me is because I called him. And I called him and I left a message and I said, "Brother, we got your letter and know that you're getting ready to go down to ground zero." And I said, "I just want you to know that I am praying for you right now that God will help you and bless you. And I hope you have a good time." And I said, "I'd love to hear what God does." And so that's why he called me back. See, if that brother just passed through and we'd forgot about him, I'd have never called him. We'd have never took him on as a missionary, but we had a little part in that soul that was saved. That's what Paul's talking about. "I desire fruit that may abound to your account to prove the sincerity of your love." I'm moving on. Second of all, to practice real Christ-likeness, verse number 9. He said, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." You see, we see there the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. His willingness, his humility, his sacrifice, his devotion, his faith. Do you know what Faith Promise Missions does? For me, it allows me to practice real Christ-likeness. I'm putting my life, I'm having to have faith in God. "God, I don't have it. If you give it to me, I'll give it to missions." We're practicing real Christ-likeness and following the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's one thing to talk about giving when the economy is up and everything is moving along like it was a few years ago, but to stand and preach that we ought to be involved and give to missions in a time like this, that takes faith. See, it's going to cost us something. And there's going to be a sacrifice involved. And the day might come to us where it is either I'm going to give it to missions or I'm not going to go on vacation this year. What would Jesus do? See, it's going to come down. It's not like it is in many other countries, but it's tighter and tighter and tighter. I see that. I realize that. And so it's going to come down to the option, what am I going to do? Am I going to support missions or am I going to go out to eat? Or am I, you know, there's going to be a sacrifice in there. Well, we have the example of the Lord Jesus Christ here. There's a word in verse number 9 I want to point out. I think it scares us to death. But it says in verse number 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." And I think that word that scares us to death is that little four-letter word, poor. I think when you start talking about the economy and society and where the world is going, and we see that the economies around the world and people are scared to death of being poor, but you know, a lot of you grew up poor. That shouldn't scare you. Maybe my generation scares them to death. But I tell you, there's another word in verse number 9 that ought to calm our fears, and that's the word grace. Just put a circle around both them words and connect them together with a pencil. Next time you read down through there, you'll see, no matter what happens, the grace of God's going to be sufficient. We might end up poor, but the grace of God's not running out. To practice real Christ-likeness. to prove the sincerity of your love. Number three, to perform biblical Christianity. Verse number 10, he's sitting here and I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it. That is, there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. To perform biblical Christianity. There's some words there in verse number 10 that I have underlined. Perform the doing of it. The word performance also out of that which ye have. Do it. Just do it. We can talk about, we can sing about, and all of these things, but comes right down to the fact that somebody's got to do this or missionaries won't go. I was reading about a preacher years ago. He's gone on to be with the Lord now, but he coined a phrase. He said this, he said, "You must go or send a substitute." I like that. You must go, because the Bible says, go ye into all the world. Well, if you can't go, though, what are you going to do? You're going to have to send a substitute. And that's what missionaries are for those of us in the church that are not going into all the world. They're going on our behalf. We have a part in their ministry. We're sending a substitute. You may not can go. You may not can preach, but you can reach. You may not be able, if the fire alarm sounds in the middle of the night, to go down and get on the fire truck and go out somewhere and get a ladder out and climb up into a burning building and rescue somebody and get them out. But you know what you might can help do? You might help put some diesel in the fire truck. Maybe you can hold the ladder. Maybe you can buy a ladder so they have a ladder. You know, we live right across from the gas station. And I don't know exactly what night it is, but I think about every week. Them volunteer firemen, they'll run them fire trucks up there, and I'm sure they're topping them up. And you know what I say? Praise the Lord. They might need to come to my house. I'd hate for them to run out of gas halfway there. There's a lot of missionaries. You know what? Their job's more important, because eternal souls are at stake. And they need help going. They need support and supply. And I preached on that a few weeks ago. And so he said, perform it. How do we perform it? By giving. That's what he's saying here. Here comes the test. Perform it. Do it. Give what God's laid upon your heart. Do you know, and I preached that message on supply a few weeks ago. And I preached it over at Smithport. And I hope that Noah doesn't mind me telling this, but he went with me on the night I preached that. And as we were going home, he told me, he said, I was doing something and I didn't think I was doing nothing. Because he's been involved in Faith Promise missions now for at least a year and a half. And boy, I've seen God bless him, and I've seen him get that. And every time before business meeting, that's when he puts his faith promise in. And I've seen him be faithful to do that. And we were talking the other day about how much God's blessed him. He had a job he didn't like, and God took that away and gave him a job he liked. That's a blessing in and of itself. God's blessed him in many different ways. And so perform it. There's something to do. And then verses 13 through 15, last thing I want us to see, to prevent ministry inequality. He said in verse 13, "For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by inequality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality." Now, here's how we are in America. We think that we're the only ones putting anything in. We think that we are the givers and God has blessed us. And many times the attitude is, well, that's fine. But what can them mission churches in other countries really do for us. I mean, they come to us for support. We don't go to them for anything. But I'll tell you, God, if there's a great equalizer, God is the one. God says, you better supply what they need because they're going to supply what you need. And I'll give you a couple of examples of that tonight. Do you know that that God called me to preach in a church that was started by missionaries that had a burden to go to the country of England and start a Baptist church for American military personnel? See, God has supplied your want through missionaries that you didn't even know anything about. God supplied what you needed. God called. That's where my wife got saved. She got saved in a church that was started by a missionary. Isn't that a blessing? And when God called me to preach, I remember one person in particular that comes to mind. There was more than one, but Miss Bonnie, Sister Kathy's grandmother. And Miss Bonnie told me many times, she said, "We're so glad that God's called you to preach." She said, "It's been years and years since God's called anybody to preach. And we've been worried about what we were going to do when Preacher Carl was gone." And right after that, God began to call. And there's a lot of preachers God has called. God called several out of Forest Grove. When I was over there the other night preaching, Brother Phil Arnold said this. He said to his church, he said, "I'm in the lineage of Brother Wynn." Because his pastor is Preacher Greg. And I was Preacher Greg's pastor. So if you really think about it, both of them are blessed because of a missionary that went and started a church. And I know tonight we could say, well, God could have done. Yes, God could do. But that's not what God did. And Brother Phil said, "I'm in his lineage." Boy, he's brave if he claims that, but that's fine with me. But I pointed that out to him also on the Wednesday night to prevent ministry inequality. What about this? Let's think about it not just in a financial aspect, but what about a spiritual aspect? Boy, praise God, they're missionaries. They see so many people saved. They are worried about discipling all the people that they see saved. We don't have that problem, do we? Preacher Field talked about that over at Smithport one night. He said, "We might go all year and not see one person saved." But you know what? That doesn't mean that in God's eyes and in God's way of equalizing things, since we help missionaries go and we have a part of that ministry, you know what God does? God takes an abundance of what they see and he takes some of that fruit and he puts it over there. God, he makes it right. That there might be inequality. They're helping us. Something we're having a hard time in, they are helping us. So there's several ways that to prevent ministry inequality. And one last thing I'll show you and I'll be done. Verse 15. I'd never noticed this before. But verse 15, it says, "As it is written," that's a reference to the Old Testament. He said, "He that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack." And what he's referring to there, he's talking about the manna in the Old Testament. That is an example of faith promise missions. And I got to studying about that, and I went back and I read about that manna. And you know one thing I noticed about that manna? God put a curse on the ones that wanted to hoard it up. See, some of them went out there and they said, "Man, this is great." And so they got them a basket and they started piling that basket full of manna. You know, they said, "We don't know, but tomorrow it may not come. So we'll get enough for today and we'll get enough for tomorrow and snack tomorrow night and everything like that." And boy, they came in and they piled it up high. But the Word of God says that the ones that just hoarded it up, it bred worms and it stank. And boy, the next morning, you seen them down there, get rid of that stuff. There's a lot of churches in America, they're hoarding up money that's going to breed worms and end up going to the Antichrist. That's an example of. But another thing that happened when the manna came, the one that went out there and they said, now, I don't want to get too much. I don't want to be hoggish about it. We're just going to get enough, just barely enough for us. And they went back in there and they had their meal that night. And the Bible says, he that gathered little had enough. God blessed their little bit and made it plenty for them to eat. And the ones that hoarded it all up, God put a curse on it and it bred worms and it stank. And what I'm saying is that this thing, if it is an example of the manna, do you know what God did with the manna? God gave manna every day. Say, preacher, but we don't know. This winter, things might change, might do it. But I'm not worried about this winter. But today's pretty good. Boy, God's really blessed me today. And I think the God that has blessed me today, he's going to be well able, no matter what happens tomorrow, he's going to be able to take care of tomorrow too. That was the lesson of the manna. God said, you don't worry about hoarding up for tomorrow. He said, I'm going to take care of you tomorrow. The next day, and the next day, and the next day. The example, that's the lesson of faith promise missions. It's by faith. God said, it'll be there tomorrow. Don't worry about it. And that's exactly what God did. You know what? A lot of churches hoarding it up. You know who's going to get it? The government's going to get it. Inflation's going to get so bad it ain't going to be worth nothing. Better get it out. Why would any church anywhere sit around with a great big bank account while these missionaries worshiping under bamboo huts somewhere? Can't get to the field. Just need a little help just to get over the hump for something. God never intended for any of us to hoard it up. And I'm talking about, you know, if a church is building something, I realize, you know, they may put a little back or have a building fund, but just sit there with no intended use whatsoever. God's not in that. And so we see the example of the manna. God is able to meet our needs.